Man, I'm feeling really good about myself right now. Just feeling like an absolute legend. It's a great intro. Ah, I love my kids, love my daughter, I do miss her. But she's in a great place, this is a great church. I'll tell you what, I just love the fact that in the kingdom of God, we just got friends all around the world, you know? And, you know, we are a family, aren't we? We are a family in different churches and different areas and different countries. But we are one family because we've all been impacted by the same blood. We have the same redemptive blood running through our veins, you know? And, well, I just think it's absolutely wonderful. All right, let's get into it tonight. You ready for the word? Oh, that's powerful. Come on, you ready for the word tonight? Judges chapter 13, verse 24 to 25. If you weren't here this morning, I spoke about the life of Samson. Talked about how God had anointed Samson to be strong for the weak and for the broken, for the disenfranchised. And I talked about how God raised a man to stand in the gap. And really, missions is about God using our strength and the anointing that he's placed on this house to make an impact in this nation and the nations of the world. Who knows that the anointing that God has given this house is not just for a Sunday, but the anointing that God has given this house is to make an impact right across the globe. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. And so we talked about that this morning. So tonight, I want to stir your heart a little bit more. And Judges chapter 13, verse 24 to 25 says, "Now the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Verse 25, "The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." I want to talk to you tonight on the stirrings of God. The stirrings of God. You know, this weekend, it's about being stirred. The King James says, the Spirit of God began to move him. Move him. Move him from his place to where God wanted to take him. Move him. I mentioned this morning, but it's interesting that the facts surrounding Samson's birth was that Dan was in the middle of the Philistine camp. And because of that, the Philistines came and they targeted Dan and they began to reduce their allotted inheritance, and they would come against them and they would fight them in different towns and different cities. And what is interesting about this particular passage is that for the first time we see in Israel's life that Israel does not cry out for help. So there are other seasons that they're fighting against the Philistines. We know the story of David and Goliath, and Saul raises an army, and there's a moment in time that they're on the battlefield. They recognize the severity of their issue. They recognize that they're going to be overrun by the enemy, and there's an agitation within them. There is a concern within them, and so they rise up and they come against it. But here, we see no crying out for help whatsoever. And God sees that they needed help, and so he raises a man, and this man shakes things up. So I want to talk to you tonight about being stirred, not shaken. Being stirred, not shaken. I would rather be stirred than shaken by life circumstances because I haven't listened to the stirrings of God. God always wants you and I to be in a position for growth and development. God wants to grow this church. God wants to develop this church. God wants to shape this church to the next level. And he was about to shake things up because Israel had lost their stirrings to be changed. They had lost their stirrings to be shifted to the next level. And so he raises a man who stirs the pot, who shakes the nation, who had become complacent in their bondage. They didn't cry out for help. They didn't say the white place that we're living in is unacceptable. We're being dominated. We're being held down. We're being held captive. And yet they didn't cry out for help. And the reality is Israel was in a place that they accepted their bondage. They accepted their state of being. They may do. They'd come to grips that this is my life. I'm just going to adjust And I'm going to change my expectation accordingly. I'm not going to go for God. I'm not going to go to believe for breakthrough. This is the way it's always been, so this is the way it'll always be. So I'm just going to accept who I am in life. How many times have I met people who adjust their expectation based on the enemy's invasion in their life, not according to the plan of God? How many times have you met people who you know they could go for more? Who you know that there is so much more that God has for them, and yet they've just accepted their bondage. They've just accepted their challenge. They've just said, you know what? This is my lot in life. I'm always going to live with this. I'm always going to have to wrestle with this. I'm always going to have to battle with this. And so this is something that I'm just going to accept. We had a young man living in our house that we wanted to help. And we thought, we're going to get him in our house. We're going to help him out. And, you know, this young man had been told right throughout his life that you're dumb. You're dumb. You're an idiot. You're dumb. You can never do anything. And we kept saying to him, no, you're not. You know, you're not. God's got a plan for your life. You know, you can't think that of yourself. You've got to think higher than that. Yes, you've been said that. Yes, you've been told that. Yes, that has spoken death into your world. But just don't listen to that. We got him a job. We got him a job. He did some dumb things in that job. He lost the job. Why did you do those dumb things? Because I was told I was dumb my whole life. Just a cycle. Just a cycle. You know, I've met people, you can have opportunity thrown in your face, but you can't see it or make use of it because you become familiar with your issue. You become familiar with your bondage. You become familiar with your weakness. You become familiar with that thing that holds you down. You just accept it. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of what I've wrestled with. It must be infused in my DNA. It is who I am. It is a lie of the enemy. It's a lie of the enemy. I call it you're precious. It's my precious. My precious. I'm comfortable with my precious. I'm living less, but I'm comfortable. It binds me. I struggle, but it provides me a level of comfort. I'm okay with the fact that I live with these issues. I'm familiar with my bondage. There's a familiarity here with the Philistine camp that you don't see in any other portion of Scripture. Samson's parents tolerate the Philistines. They never go after them. They never fight her. They never say, enough's enough. They tolerate them. Samson looks for a girl in the enemy's camp. Think about that. He goes to his dad and he goes, I found a girl in the Philistine camp. His dad goes, why can't you find someone in our clan? And I'm looking for that. Just the fact that he would actually think it was okay to look in that direction tells me there was a culture in that nation of familiarity, that it was okay in things that God said were not okay. It's where all the trouble began. God doesn't want his people to live like this. God doesn't want us to live below what he's mandated for our lives. And so he sends a deliverer that they don't ask for. They don't ask for a deliverer. But God says, I know what you need. I know what you need, and so I'm going to send it to you. Ever been in a place where you've said, I don't ask for this? I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this pressure. I didn't ask for this challenge. I didn't ask for this demand. Maybe God is shaping your world. Maybe God recognizes there are areas of your life that are making you live well below the potential and the purpose that he has for your life. Everything was okay until you came along. Everything was okay until you opened up that wound. Maybe God has wanted to shake your world and my world so that we can move into a place far higher than what we're living in right now. God is interested in our personal growth. He wants you and I to grow. He wants us to be free from anything that will control our lives. And so there are times that God uses agitation to bring change. Mate, there are times that God uses agitation to bring change. But I would say this to you tonight, it doesn't need to always be that way. The Bible says that while Samson was in Dan, the Spirit of God began to stir him. I'd rather be stirred than shaken. I'd rather be led by the Spirit than be directed by circumstances. I'd rather listen to that still small voice than be rocked by the earthquake and the fire. So I want to tell you tonight very quickly what the stirrings of God actually do in our lives. Had Samson listened to the stirrings of God, his whole life, not just at the beginning, but his whole life would have been blessed. He would have saved himself a lot of trouble. Let me give you five things very quickly, what the stirrings of God actually do. The stirrings of God do a number of things in life. Number one, they save us from big problems later on. The stirrings of God save us from big problems later on. Samson was stirred to solve a problem. Think about how the stirrings of God actually deal with issues. Had he obeyed the stirrings of God, he would have walked blessed. They save you from bad decisions. The sad thing about Samson is that after he told Delilah his secret and they came to attack him, the Bible says that he did not even recognize that the Spirit of God had left him. Somewhere along the way, through bad decision after bad decision, he had lost that sensitivity to the stirrings of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says of Elijah that after he had dealt with the prophets of Baal and Jezebel was still coming after him, that he moved into a season of depression. And the Bible says that he went into a cave and he was all depressed and he was all alone. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came before him, but God wasn't in the earthquake and God wasn't in the fire, but he was in the still small voice. You know what that small voice literally means in the Hebrew? It means a barely audible sound. Barely audible sound. So think about this. The Bible doesn't say that God spoke to him in the cave. It's only when he went out of the cave that God spoke to him. But in the cave, he heard a different sound. What was that? Something that triggered him to get out of the cave. Something that shifted in his trajectory. He was on a pathway and that still small voice just went pfft, enough to grab his attention. Enough for him to get out of the cave. And when he got out of the cave, that's when the Spirit of God downloaded and spoke to him in great detail. You say, how do I obey? How do I listen to the stirrings of God? It's often just that different sound. It's the different sound that you had that when you had financial pressure and you said, we're still going to put missions first, it was a different sound. Logic said, this is a type of sound that you need to go for, but the Spirit of God said, this is a different sound. If you want to be a church that touched the nations of the world, you've got to listen to the different sound. You just can't go the same logical trajectory. There has to be a different shift in your own heart. I know when we moved from Adelaide to Melbourne, it was a different sound. Everything said, stay where you are. It's comfortable. You are secure. But there was an agitation in our spirit. There was something on the inside of us. There was a different sound that God was stirring us. Come on, there's more. Don't you live less than what I've called you to live. Don't you live below your potential. There's more that I want to do in your life. It was a different sound. There was no detail. It was just a different sound. What was that? Stirrings of God save you from a whole bunch of trouble. They shift you. Number two, that they keep us out of our comfort zone. Israel was comfortable. It was time to get out of that zone. You know what the stirrings of God do? They always make you go into an uncomfortable place. Have you ever been in a place where the stirrings of God said, stay where you are, it's all good? There's been not once in my ministry that the stirrings of God said, sit down, have a Big Mac, you've arrived. Thank you, Jesus. Wait until I come. The stirrings of God are always pushing me further. I wish they didn't.
I wish they weren't so persuasive in the way that they push. But the stirrings of God always challenge you and I to live out of our comfort zone. You know, I've got to say this, right? When it comes to moving in the Holy Spirit, and, you know, I've travelled a bit because of the whole missions thing and I've preached in different areas. I have to say this. The times that I have felt the most uncomfortable and have felt it the least was the time that God moved the most. Have you noticed that? You notice that, Tim? The times that I thought I've got it all together, the meeting falls flat. I remember one time, the night before, I'd had a bad curry. Who's ever had a bad curry? The next morning, the gates of hell open up in every part of my body. So I'm just going, oh my Lord, I've got to preach tonight, right? I've got to preach today. Like, this is just crazy. And I've got a migraine. There's a river flowing. There's just a whole bunch of stuff going on. And I get up there, and I'm not feeling it at all. I was completely out of my comfort zone. And I've got to say, we just had a move of God. We just had a move of God. I've got to say this, I've seen that again and again and again. The stirrings of God force you out of your comfort zone. It was forcing Israel out of this lull that the enemy had put them into. Number three, they make you intentional about what you need to work on. The stirrings of God make you intentional about what you need to work on. Church, there are times that I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I need to work on. I don't know what I need to sort out. I don't know what needs to come first. I don't know what I don't know. I rely on the stirrings of the Holy Spirit to bring priority and direction and purpose in my world. That's why being baptized in the Holy Spirit is so powerful. There are times that I go, I don't even know what to pray. Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what challenge to take on first. There's so many pressures. There's this, there's that. There's missions, there's finances, that pastoral care issue. There's that Aunt Betty that's been painful. I don't know what to sort out first. They make you intentional on what you need to work on. This is the one that's worth looking at. That they are fruitful in nature. Church, this is a big one. They confirm that you are led by God. When God leads you, you are fruitful. You say, how can I be effective? How can I be fruitful? How can I not waste time but actually know that I'm being productive with my life? It's very simple. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the God touch your heart. You knew when Samson had left a room because there was carnage everywhere. You knew when Samson had come into a meeting because there was a broken jawbone and there were bodies everywhere. You knew that when he walked out of the room that something had shifted. There was a change. There were things that were no longer the same. Something was different. It may not have been what people expected, but there was something that was different when Samson left the room. Do people know after you've left your leadership that you have made a mark and that you've made a difference? I got to tell you, we live in a generation where we want to articulate and say all the right things. You know what? We have a group of politicians around the world that want to articulate and say the right things. But after their term, nothing has changed. Things are still exactly the same. You wouldn't even know whether there was actually been a shift in the culture where things are actually better. And yet, you know, with Samson, that when he left, you know that room was different. This is why missions are so powerful. We want to know that things are different. We want to do more than just click like on Facebook. When was the last time that click like on Facebook actually did anything of worthwhile purpose for a guy who's starving, for people that don't have fresh water? It is an absolute lull that the enemy draws this generation into. Just thinking that they're on social media to go, you know what, we believe in this, is actually going to make a massive difference. We've got to put legs to our faith. We've got to start to operate in saying that when we walk in and out of a country, that country will never be the same again. That when we sow in, when we make a difference, when we are led by the Spirit of God, it's not just what comes out of our mouth, but things have actually shifted. You know, you talk to people in Myanmar, talk to people in China, they actually don't care what the current trends are. They actually don't care. In Myanmar, they actually don't care what the current world trends are. They just want to know that there's actually going to be food on the table tomorrow morning. Think about that, right? We have so many first world problems, we actually don't even realize that when you actually go over there, all the stuff that we get so worked up about and so concerned about, that when you go over there, they go, you know what, I just want to know that I can have clean drinking water. But you know what, I'm just going to make a commitment to that. We are stirred not just for the issues to be dealt with, but we are stirred to do something, stirred to make a difference, stirred to bring breakthrough. They create a spiritual climate for us to value. Church, I don't want to be stirred by issues my whole life. I want to be stirred by the Spirit of God. Can I encourage you tonight? When was the last time that God stirred your personal walk? Stirred you to change the way that you respond to things? Stirred you to step out in faith? Stirred you to give beyond your natural ability? Those things come by the stirrings of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny, you know, sometimes we watch TV programs and they do a big deal on, you know, some of these things like the Footy Show, where a company will donate $5,000 to a worthy cause. The whole world goes, and I go, $5,000, really? Is that it? And here the church behind the scenes is raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to make an impact in people's lives around the globe. And companies earning billions of dollars, and they go, you know what? Yes, we've raised $5,000, fantastic. I think it's just completely out of perspective. How can the church raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for missions across the globe? Because it's not a natural thing, it's a supernatural thing. Because people are actually stirred by the Spirit of God. Right? Not just stirred for natural things, but stirred by the Spirit of God. The stirrings of God are directive in nature. They shape you, they develop you, they push you to another level. One of the greatest things that I ever did years ago was that I wasn't in ministry. And I felt to give one of the men of God in my life, I felt to give him $500. Never done it before. And I'd given tithes and offerings, give to missions, all that, but I just really felt just stirred to do this. And so I remember going to my wife and said, you know what, babe, I just really feel to bless this guy who I know is struggling, but we just got to bless him with $500. So I went around to his house, knocked on his door. It was really awkward, you know. I said, hello. I just want to give you this. All right, see ya. Jumped in the car and drove off. He rings me about half an hour later, bawling his eyes out. And he said, Matt, you know, thank you for that. He goes, that just blew us out of the water. This was like 20 years ago. Right, and he said, I was in a meeting, in a big revival meeting, and we had our last $50 in our pocket, and we felt the Lord say to us, put that $50 in the offering, and why don't you let me multiply what you will give? And so that weekend, he said, we gave $50 and we had bills, we had things to pay, put our last 50 bucks in. 3 days later, you rock up with 10 times the amount of what I gave. Hung up on the phone. I was light of 500 bucks, but I was richer spiritually, I'm telling you.
I was like, yes. Yes. I am a man of God. Benny Hinn, eat your heart out. I'm ready for the stadiums. It just did something in me. Just did something for my faith. It just did something when I stepped out. It just did something when I just didn't live according to my humanity and carnality and just lived according to the sums and the calculator. But I started living by faith. I started being allowing God to stir my life, to get me out of my comfort zone, not to live below my potential, but to live at the potential that God had for my life. You know, some people are, can I just say this, then we'll close. Some people are just always stirred by circumstance. They're always stirred by their emotions. They're always stirred, and I would say that these are harsh taskmasters. They are inferior things that you should be led by. Right? Be led by the Spirit of God. Right? When you are led by circumstance, you are led by an inferior leader. When you are led by your emotions, you are led by an inferior leader. Right? When you are led by your issues, you are led by an inferior leader. You know, the Bible talks, I don't have time to go into this, but Galatians 4 verse 1 to 13 talks about the heir as a child and how they were slave and now they're a child of God, and it talks about what basically what you're led by. You can be led by a whole bunch of things, or you can be led by the Spirit of God. I call it going to the top. Going to the top. Going to the top. If you want to be led by the top. Don't be led by anything inferior. Don't be led by anything else that is far less than what the potential God has for your life. Be led by the top. Go to the top. I saw this weekend. I came a day early because I wanted to spend time with Alessandra. And so we thought we'd fly in on Friday. I said to Brad, I said, you know, just be here on Saturday, but I said, well, we're going to come in a day earlier, spend some time with our daughter and hang out, right? And I'm part of a hotel chain membership, right? So it's a paid membership. That membership gives you really cheap hotel deals, right? Really cheap hotel deals. And because I pay for that membership, I get one free night a year. So I thought, fantastic, I'm going to use that free night on the Friday night to stay in the city in a 5-star hotel. If I'm going to see Alessandra, I might as well do it in luxury. Thank you, Jesus. And so I thought I'm going to do that. And so my membership was due about a month ago. I paid for my membership and I was waiting for my card to come in the mail. We had just moved house and I thought maybe there was the delay with the redirection of the mail. And this was last week. This is now a week before I'm coming here. And I ring them up and go, hey, my card hasn't come. I've been trying to log on to the membership to book my hotel, to get my free night. I can't do that. I looked at it and they said, oh, sorry, sir, but we forgot to process your membership. Right? So I'd paid for the membership, but they forgot to process it. We'll do it right away. I said, well, the problem is, if you're doing it now, you know, hotels in Sydney, you know, you got to book them a month in advance. So I said, you know, now that's only 3 or 4 days, I said, I can't get into a decent hotel and I can't get my free night because they are allocated rooms that you know, once they're gone, they're gone. She said to me, she goes, well, so you should have booked it a month ago. And I said, well, I would have booked it a month ago if you would have processed my card a month ago. I said, you didn't process my card a month ago, so now I can't get in. She said again, sir, you should have booked it a month ago. I said, lady, I said, stop reading what's on the computer screen and listen to what I'm saying. Right? I said, surely there's something you can do. If there's, and I'm being really vulnerable tonight, if there's anything that irates me more than anything else is when someone says, there is nothing that I can do. What, there's absolutely nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do. I'm sorry, sir, there's nothing we can do. The best we can do is nothing. So I said, so the best you can do is Zippo. That's the best. If the best is nothing, what's the worst? You're coming over and slap me in the face? Like, what's the worst, right? The best? You're going to go ahead and punch my wife? What are you going to do? Is that the worst? What's the best? The best is nothing.
She said, I want to speak to your manager. I said, I want to speak to your manager. She's not available. I said, what? He's not available. No, he's not available. So I said, you're saying that there's no one in the office that's a manager right now. You're saying that you are without a manager right now. She said, no, he's just not available. She's not available to me. Not available to me, right? So I hung up on the phone. I have a problem. I'm thinking about it all night. This morning I woke up and I thought, who's the CEO for Asia Pacific, not Australia, but for the southern hemisphere of this company? And I looked it up and it was her name, and she just appointed CEO 4 years ago. And the lady who wrote the press release was another lady from that company. And she had an email. And the email format was first name dot last name. At dadada.com.au. So I penned an email to the CEO and CC'd this later, the director of marketing. Hi, my name is Matt Hines. I've been a member of this particular hotel chain for many years now. You'll see that I travel and, you know, I give you a lot of business. And I just want to say that, you know, you didn't process my card correctly. Because of that, you know, I couldn't book a hotel. I've now been penalised because of your mistakes, and now I have to wear that. The girls on the phone were nice, but they had an inability in any shape or form to negotiate at any level, which I find completely disappointing. I said, I just wanted you to know, being the CEO of this side of the world, so that you can deal with the culture of your organisation. Have a great day. Matt Hines. I didn't even know whether I got the email correct, right? Next day at 10 a.m., driving along, get a phone call. It's a Sydney number. And it's not Shy Live because you guys are in my favourites. Hello, sir. This is Matt Hines. I said, yes, it is. They said, this is Stuart, da-da-da-da-da. I said, I know who you are. He goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, you got appointed CEO of Australia 2 years ago. He goes, that's right. How'd you know that? I said, I've done my research on you guys. He said, I have the email in front of me of how you want to visit your daughter on the weekend. I said, that's right. And he said, the CEO, the international CEO, forwarded this email to me. And we want to really apologise, but we got it wrong. And we just want to let you know that we're sorting it out now. Give us about half an hour, we'll ring back. Half an hour, he rang back. So just want to let you know that we got you a free night in a luxury room at the Sofitel on a Friday night. Have a great night. Enjoy the time with your daughter. And we're so sorry for stuffing you around. After that, I got another 5 phone calls from the VIP of marketing. I got a phone call from the VIP of customer relations. Just want to make sure everything's okay, Mr. Hines. I want to make sure. Yes, I'm very happy. Yes, you're really happy. I want to thank you. Is there anything else that we can do? No, I just wanted you to honour your agreement. That's all I'm happy with. That's what, even when I was at the hotel, someone rang me. Everything okay? Everything fine? Everything's fantastic. Everyone was all over it like a rash. And you know what? I just realised, here we go, here's the punchline. I just realised everything is different when you go to the top. When you go to the top. I'm not going anywhere else, but I'm going to the top. That's where I'm going. I could have stuffed around on the phone for 4 days. I could have been handed from manager to manager. I thought, you know what? Blow this. I don't have time. I'm going to the top. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you go to the top.
You don't go down here. You don't go where everyone else goes. You don't go where your feelings go. Oh, I'm feeling prophetic tonight. You don't go where your feelings go. You don't go where circumstances go. How many people are driven by their feelings? How many people are driven by circumstance? They are led by inferior leaders. They are led by circumstances that get them nowhere. There's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of activity, but really it achieves nothing at all. When you are led by the Spirit of God, when you allow the Holy Spirit to stir your heart and to direct your heart, and to guide your heart, there are things happen. You walk in seasons of breakthrough and fruitfulness and blessing because you make a commitment to be led by the Spirit of God. This missions offering, I want to encourage you. I want to stir your heart. Don't be stirred by the current state of your finances. Don't be stirred by carnal things. Allow the Spirit of God to stir you. I say this from personal experience. Allow the Spirit of God to stir you. Say, Holy Spirit, stir my heart. Do you want me to step out of my comfort zone? Do you want me to operate in a higher level? I want you to stir me. All right? Get ready for next week. It's going to be powerful. I do believe there are people here tonight, though. God wants to stir your heart. He wants to stir your heart. Some people you've been stirred by circumstance. God has allowed circumstances to shake your world because He wants to stir you. There are some people you are always driven by your emotions. There are some people, you know what, you've just accepted. This is the thing that I believe God wants to break over people's lives tonight. You've just accepted. This is my lot in life. I've lived with this thing for so long. Some of you here tonight, you've had brokenness maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and that brokenness has taken the edge off your expectation. You believe for this, but through a series of events, now you no longer believe for this, you just believe for this. You've just accepted that this part of brokenness is a part of your life, and so because of that, you're living less than what God has for your life. Tonight, God just wants to break that over your life in 2017. God wants to stir your heart. Come and be stirred by the Spirit of God. God doesn't want you to be living less. And if there's anything that I'd come here for, it would be for this message tonight. That you say, God, tonight, I'm not going to be living by the things that have fractured my soul, but I'm going to be living by the things that you stir my heart. And that may mean being out of your comfort zone. That may mean stepping out in faith. But God wants to stir your heart to live where He's called you to live, and that is up there and not down there. Come on, I want you to stand to your feet tonight.